It's good to see everyone this morning. Thank y'all for having us this Sunday. Appreciate this church supporting us like y'all have for the last several years. It's always a blessing when we get our support statement. Y'all never miss a beat. Amen. We do depend on the loving finances of churches here in America. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for supporting us as long as you have. We pray that we've been an investment, a wise investment of your money to the Lord in our ministry. Real quick, before we get into the DVD, I want to introduce my wife. Wave her hand real high, amen. My lovely wife, Darlene. We've been married going on 14 years. Right? 14 years? Yeah. Going on 14 years. This December, and I just thank God for her. She's my unsung hero, if you will. I could not do half of what I do, any of what I do, without her. She keeps me organized and keeps me going the right direction. I'm one of those directionally challenged. North, south, east, west, I don't have a clue, you know, as far as direction goes. She keeps me organized. I thank God for her. And I think that can be said a lot of wives in the ministry, amen. They do the work behind the scenes. The preacher, they do it what they do. But without our wives, where would we be, amen? Thank you very much. If the DVD is the thing ready, fellows, if it is, I'd like to show that real quick, about 4 minutes long.
On January 26, 2009, the island country of Madagascar faced one of its greatest crises that it has ever faced. In a terrible political coup, the mayor of Antananarivo, Andry Rajoelina, overthrew President Marc Ravalomanana.
Two people have been killed and more than 80 wounded in a grenade attack in Madagascar's capital. It took place during the country's National Day celebrations. The explosion at a stadium in Antananarivo took place as a free concert was staged.
Again, on June 26, 2016, in the capital city of Antananarivo, Madagascar, during a celebration of Madagascar's 57th year of independence from France, there was a horrible grenade explosion. These were, no doubt, terrible times for the people of Madagascar. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a greater crisis at hand. There is a greater war at hand. The war for the souls of men, women, and children in Madagascar, Africa. The 21 plus million people of Madagascar not only suffer from a physical problem of war, poverty, and hunger, but the people also suffer from a great spiritual hunger of hearing and receiving the Word of God. My name is Scotty Rackley. God has called us to serve Him as missionaries on this great, beautiful, and exotic island country of Madagascar. We have been serving with the Ben Angel family since our arrival in 2011. Currently, there are only 5 independent Baptist missionary families serving in Madagascar, which is approximately the size of Texas. As a result of your prayers and our hard work and labor, God has also allowed us to increase our membership fourfold in 5 years. As a result of this increase, we have relocated to a larger building to accommodate this increase. On March 5th, 2016, God allowed us to start a Bible Institute with 15 students. Our goal is to train these students to be local pastors and teachers so that one day they too can go out and start new churches, thus ultimately fulfilling the Great Commission. We praise the Lord that our people are continually learning to grow through the Institute, our discipleship program, weekly soul winning, as well as outreach ministries in villages surrounding our city. Our future goals are to continue to see souls saved, baptized, and discipled in our church, to continue training and strengthening our nationals through the Bible Institute and soul winning, to prayerfully begin other churches working together with the men in our church whom we have trained.
Oh, Pastor and praying friends, thank you so much for taking time to view this presentation of what God is doing through us because of you in Madagascar. It's our heart's desire and prayer to God that you would not only be stirred by what you have seen and heard, but that you'd also be changed. Thank you for praying and partnering with us in our work and labor for Christ in Madagascar, Africa, to see the people come to Christ. Merci beaucoup. Misocha Betsaka. Nareo Izahai. In case some of you might be wondering, say, what do they speak in Madagascar? They speak French and Malagasy. We've learned both languages. We preach in Malagasy. We do use French in business and in trade and in business language. But God has given us a good church over there. When we came home last year for furlough, Ben was... He had the work for himself along with the guys that we had been training. But then they had to come home in November for the birth of their fourth child when they just recently left back in back the end of March. They went back to Madagascar. Well, when they went back, they were amazed. We were talking with them the other day on the phone, FaceTiming, and they were amazed when they got back to the church. Preacher, they saw 10 or 15 new people who had been coming for 2 or 3 months now. Amen? Amen. And that's without the white guy there. That's that without the vaza. Amen. That's Malagasy people reaching Malagasy people. Amen. And thank God for that. We were both kind of scared. We thought, man, we're both back here. Prayerfully, there's a church still. We were scared, but God's in control and He works. And the guys, they've done a great job. I called them a couple of times on Skype and just to encourage them, see how they're doing. One of our guys, Dina, he's our pianist. He's very musical. He helps with teaching violin and guitar there in our church. Well, his daddy, we don't know if he's saved or not, if he was saved, but his daddy just passed away 2 weeks ago, was it him? A couple weeks ago. It was sudden, too. He hadn't been in the best of health, but we've been witnessing to him, trying to pray for him, and we're just praying that he was saved when he passed, when he died. And so he died Tuesday night a couple weeks ago. There's been a recent update. The present our, in our presentation, we said that there's 5 Independent Baptist missionary families. Now there's only 4. If you would... please pray for the Richard Jertberg family. Richard Jertberg. They were the 5th, one of the 5 missionary families. They had to come home a couple years ago as a result of breast cancer. Charity was suffering from breast cancer. She was getting treatment here in America and Georgia. But as of Tuesday, she lost the battle to cancer. And... Richard buried her yesterday. They had the funeral yesterday. So if you would pray that God will just work in their hearts, amen. God will send someone else. God will send laid upon the hearts of someone else to go to Madagascar and fill their shoes, amen. We're not sure what Richard's going to do at this time. He hasn't said whether he's going to go back. They have 5 kids right before she passed away, preacher. She gave birth to their 5th child, a baby, little baby, Kezia. And so if you would pray for them, that God will give him direction and wisdom as to where he needs to go and what he needs to do from here, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 13. I appreciate the Wiggins having us over for supper last night. Amen. It was good eating, good fellowship. I appreciate the hotel room. Thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning, Pastor. It was always counted a privilege to fill the pulpit for a preacher anytime. It's a holy place. I want to encourage y'all this morning, folks. It's Mission Sunday, and the most important thing in this world is the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
If you die without Christ, your suffering has. Doesn't matter what you've been suffering from. Your suffering has only begun.
Amen.
If you die without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 9:13, Paul said, "Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of those things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Paul put a precedence, Paul put a premium on the gospel in his ministry. And we see that, obviously, in the New Testament. But I want to speak this morning on the subject, the importance of the gospel. The importance of the gospel. Our Father and our God, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Help us. Touch us, fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. Please give me a clear mind and a clear tongue. Lord, I give myself to you as best I know how. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name we love you. Amen. When we determine just how important something is, folks, we often gauge it by how vital and how crucial it is to our life and our being. Do we really need it? For example, in a life or death situation, we can live without a hand or a foot or a finger. Physically speaking, we can live without those things. Now, it might make life a little more difficult to get by without those things, but we can live without them. We cannot live without a liver or a heart. If it comes in question, we cannot live without those things. And physically speaking, we can live for extended periods of time without food, but we have to have water. That's not a take it or leave it situation. You have to have water to live. Now, in the same way, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is completely and totally vital and essential to the world in which we live. It is. Now, some may not look at it that way, but it's still true. The importance of the gospel. How do we gauge or determine how important it is? Well, first of all, let me draw to your attention to the fact that we see the importance of the gospel by those Christians who invest their all for the gospel. What am I talking about? Well, look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, when we think of investing their all, someone who gives their all, they don't hold anything back, our minds immediately race to the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, notice what the Bible says here. Paul writes, from the Mamertine prison of all places, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul thought, man, the worst thing that could happen to me is, physically speaking, that I die. I might suffer, but if I die, to die is gain. Amen? Because I've lived for Christ. I've given my life for Christ. To die is gain. Now, there are those Christians who invest their all. What do I mean? Well, number one, by missionaries who, for example, learn a new way of life for the gospel. I'm sure you've read missionary letters before, and you read their life, their experiences, how they've gone through culture shock or language school. I could tell you stories all day about what it's like to try to learn a new language, and you can't fit English verbatim into certain languages, amen? Into certain expressions. We were there in Madagascar, and Ben was, he hurt himself in some way, hurt his shoulder, his rotator cuff or something. And so he asked me to preach for him one Sunday morning. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. Normally I teach Sunday school. We get our job We oversee the Sunday school and getting material together. Ben handles the NGO, visa paperwork and all that stuff. And personally, I'd rather do the Sunday school stuff than the visa work, amen? So he asked me to preach one Sunday morning, and I'm up there, and you know how it is, preacher. You're just getting with it, amen? You're just excited. I feel like I'm filled with the power of Holy Ghost, and I'm getting with it, amen? I'm preaching. Well, part of my message, I was trying to say, I thank God for the life in my body. He gives me life every day. He fills me with joy to serve Him. Oh, thank God for the joy and the life in my body. That's what I wanted to say. And I was saying, I thank God for the rivucha in my body. I thank God He fills me with rivucha every day. Problem is, in Malagasy culture, rivucha means gas in that way. Amen. I should have been saying aina, life. Amen. I was telling folks, God gives me gas every day. He fills me with gas. I thank God for the gas in my body. God gives me gas to serve Him. Amen. And when it was all said and done, Ben was on the front. He about fell out of his chair laughing. He was laughing so hard. Amen. Everyone was just, Pastor, what are you trying? You know, I learned something new. Amen. The gospel's important, folks. Amen. It's worth learning a new culture and a new language and learning what not to say when you're preaching. Amen. But then there are those Christians who also train and teach their families the way of the gospel. For example, there are families who, when they move to a new place, they ask, preacher, I'm moving to thus and so. Is there a good church you can recommend for my family over there? Unfortunately, however, there are families who don't do that. They go for the money, but they don't find a good church. And consequently, they get out of church and they follow the money instead of the Lord. Yeah, right. Now, folks, what am I talking about? When they move to a new place, they want to find a faithful church so that they can be faithful to attend the services of that church unless they're sick or dead. And they want to teach their kids, hey, kids, it's important to go to church. It's important to go to Sunday school. It's important to be there for the services, to honor the Lord and live for the Lord is what that's teaching. I think of Yubi, one of the guys in our church. A couple of years ago, Yubi and Anna, in fact, their picture is up back there on our board, the upper right picture of our display. Yubi and Anna had twins here a couple of years ago, Fanilo and Fanasina. One means salt, one means light. Now, culturally speaking, in Madagascar, if a woman has a baby, they won't go to church for the first, they won't leave the house for the first, was it 30 days? Yeah, for the first 30 days. It's just in their culture. It's what they do. And in fact, the mother, she's not supposed to do anything. Family and husband, they're supposed to wait on her hand and foot, literally. They're supposed to get her, all you women are like, man, that sounds great. They get maternity leave from work. They don't have to do a thing. Family, moms and dads, family come in, drive in from hours away during the birth of the child, so that they can do all this for the mother who gave birth. And Yubi and Anna just had their children. They had them up in their village up in Nkazu Bay, about 90 miles north of our city. And I told them, I said, you know, if there's anything you need, let us know. And we tried to help them as best we could. Well, a week after Anna gave birth to Fanilo and Fanasana, they were in church. They came to church. And we're like, well, it's good to see you folks. And they said, well, we're here for church, Pastor. And, you know, we didn't want to, you know, second guess this. You know, didn't encourage, well, y'all need to go back home. We didn't want to do that. But they just said, we love our church and we want to be in church. That's what they said. Our kids need to be in church. Ina, their oldest, they said he needs to be in Sunday school. We want to be in Sunday school. We love our church. Thirdly, there are preachers and pastors, ladies and gentlemen, who for the sake of the gospel, they sacrifice relationships for the gospel. There are preachers who can't leave their pulpits because there's no one to fill their pulpits so they can go on vacation or something. There are pastors and preachers I know who sacrifice so much for the ministry. There are preachers who have to cut ties with other Christians because of the gospel. So maybe a brother went astray, started preaching false doctrine somewhere. And maybe they were good friends for a long time, but they decided to go a different walk, to take a different road. And for that reason, some preachers have to cut ties and say, you know, unfortunately, we're going to have to cut fellowship. And you don't like to do that. You don't want to do that. But look over to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And notice verse 36. Acts 15, 36. Acts 15, 36. Acts 15, 36. And some days, the Bible says here, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, Barnabas' nephew. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. He said, I really don't want to take this guy. He left us before. We need people who are dedicated and committed to the work of God. Well, what happened? Verse 39, and the contentions was so sharp between them that they departed one asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, folks, I'm sure Paul did not want to do that. Paul and Barnabas, they had probably a system that they were partners in the ministry, but there was a parting of the roads. And Paul went on to preach the gospel, and some folks say that, how do you know who was right and who was wrong? Well, you never hear about Barnabas the rest of the book of Acts, whereas you read about Paul and what he did for the Lord throughout the rest of the book of Acts. Now, folks, what am I trying to say? Holiday and family gatherings can sometimes be difficult for pastors and preachers and Christians due to finances or the situation of other relatives when it comes to the gospel. You know how it is when you're living for the Lord and you go meet with family members who aren't living for the Lord, it's difficult. And they think you're weird. You know you could be driving a new car if you wouldn't give in so much money to the Lord. You know, you could get rid of that 30-year-old television set and get you a smart TV with 150 channels on it if you weren't giving so much to the Lord. But and they look at you weird. They really do. They don't understand your walk with God. They don't understand why you do what you do for the Lord, why you're here every Sunday, every Wednesday, why you go soul winning. Why are you always at that church? I had one relative of mine, my aunt, tell me, you must sleep at that church. Almost. Almost. You know, Mary had a little lamb that could not be a sheep because she joined the Baptist church and died for lack of sleep. Amen. Folks, I'm saying there are Christians who give their all for the gospel because it's important to them. Is the gospel important to you this morning? Secondly, let me say to you, we can gauge the importance of the gospel by the critics who invent ways to hinder the gospel. You know, if it wasn't so important, why would they try to hinder it? Why would they try to stop it? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm about to wax and start going in Malagasy. It's a lot easier than getting my tongue in English. Amen. Thessalon Vuluani Hazafadi. 1 Thessalonians. I had to relearn English when I came back to America. And then you have to learn English again when you come to Texas, amen? I'm trilingual. I speak English, French, French, Malagasy, and Texan, amen? I'm trilingual. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Bible says here, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but he didn't stop them, but Satan hindered us. Hindered us. Now, you can mark it down, folks, whenever you try to do something for the Lord, and especially on Sunday morning, amen? It always happens on Sunday morning. But anytime you try to do something for God, there's the devil to try to hinder you. Amen? We moved into our building there in Madagascar May 1st of 2012. nice. It wasn't a new building by any means. We were already renting it for our English classes. But we moved from an older building to the newer building, renovated it per se, but you know, cleaned it up and got it ready for church. And the first Sunday we were there in church, there for a service, the power went out. I mean, I'm not talking about just a normal African power outage. I'm talking about someone below flipped a breaker or something, and we couldn't get to the breaker. There's only electricity to part of our building. And so the guys were like, well, why don't we just start late, preacher? Why don't we wait till the power comes back on? I said, because all these other people have come already. We're going to start on time, we're going to preach, and God's going to be glorified. So some of the guys went out, and Zoo, Donate, a couple of the guys went out, and they bought some speaker wire, as you know, this cheap stuff, you know, it was the only thing they could find. They got the speaker wire, and brother, you talking about these folks are resourceful, amen? Pastor, can I borrow your tool? So I gave him my Leatherman. I keep this thing, amen? Anyone use Gerber? Amen? That's baby food, amen? I use Leatherman, amen? But anyway, that was free. Didn't cost you anything. So I gave them my tool, my screwdriver, and they're working on this plug. They get it wired, plugged into one side. They ran, like, it seemed like 100 feet of wire around the hallway into the auditorium, but it gave us enough power to run the PA system and the piano. So we're preaching, and about halfway through the sermon, the lights came on. Amen. The devil tried to hinder us. Amen. But God's word was still preached. Let me go on and say to you, thirdly, we can see the importance of the gospel by the changed lives of those who invite Jesus Christ into their heart. I was changed. I don't know about you. I was changed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I was changed. Before I got saved, I listened to my rock and roll. It was Christian rock. I called it Christian rock. Si, missi. There is none. N'existi pa. It doesn't exist. Amen. That's like saying there's Christian murder. Amen. There's no such thing. Doesn't exist. I listened to my Christian rock. I didn't want to go to church. Had long hair down to my shoulders. Had an earring in my one ear. And my mom made me take that out for church. Amen. Brother Wiggins still wears his on the side without Brother Crawford knowing about it, amen? Mrs. Wiggins has been working on him, but he needs prayer, amen? I had the earring, went to church, and heard preaching. And Brother Crawford, Brother Nichols, he made hell hot in heaven sweet. This is way back. I was 11 years old, 12 years old at the time, way back when, in the late 80s, early 90s. And I heard the gospel for the first time, the real gospel. Now, Paul in Galatians 1 talks about another gospel. There's a lot of other gospels out there, folks. And they're not the true gospel. But I heard the real gospel, amen, for the first time. And I honestly thought my mom had talked to the preacher beforehand and given him a list of all my sins, all my bad habits. Do you ever feel like that, amen? Man, Brother Crawford been talking to my wife lately, amen, or something. The Holy Spirit just hits you right between the eyes. Well, he did. And I didn't like it, to be honest with you. I didn't get saved that Sunday. I was like, man, that preacher don't know what he's talking about. I hear that a lot, amen. Preacher don't know what he's talking about. He don't understand. I went home, didn't get saved. I thought that I didn't want to die and go to hell. No one had told me I could get saved anywhere. No one told me I could get saved at home. So I'm lying there in bed, preacher, and thinking I'm going to die and bust hell wide open. Please, God, don't let me die. Well, I got to church. Sunday came. We went to church. I heard the preaching again, and no one had to push me out of the pew. Amen. I walked the aisle at the invitation time. I don't even know what Brother Nichols was preaching on at the time. All I know is that someone showed me from the Bible how to be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man," this is one of the first verses I learned as a new Christian. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Now, I remember those days. I still remember. I remember it like it was yesterday. I love hearing the Sunday morning singing, because I remember that's when I got saved. That's when I got Sunday morning. Amen. And these Sunday morning hymns, oh, they ring the bells in my heart. Amen. I thank God for a church like this that still preaches. I was talking to my wife about it. I said, you know what? Brother Wiggins has been talking about how God's been blessing this church and growing, and y'all are been able to do thus and so and expand. And I said, you know what? They don't use the buildings to get people. They facilitate the people with the buildings. Amen? And unfortunately, it's the other way around in some churches. I thank God for this church that you're a lighthouse to this area. And we're trying to be a lighthouse in Madagascar. By the changed lives of those who invite Jesus Christ. We've seen people in Madagascar who lost Catholic. Don't want anything to do with God. They want their religion. But then they realize, I'm lost, and without Christ, I will go to hell. Dolph came to Christ one Sunday morning. We weren't there, but he told me his testimony. Ben had been working on him for 4 or 5 years, and he realized he's lost, going to hell. He got saved. He didn't even wait for the invitation. He got up from his seat crying and went down forward and asked Ben to lead him to Christ. I think of Tulucha, one of the guys in our church. I don't even remember giving him the tract, but we were down the road from our church passing out tracts one day. And we had these chick tracts that someone paid to ship over, got the Malagasy chick tracts, said, "This was your life." Had a couple of guys on the one side of the road. I was on the other one side. We were out handing out tracts to the police officers and everyone. Well, one of those tracts got in the hands of Tulucha. And he come to church, and he realized he wasn't saved. So he went to one of our guys, Donay, one of the best soul, probably the best soul in our church, hands down. But he went to Donay and said, "I'm not even saved." I didn't get to lead him to the Lord, and that's not the point. The point is, he realized his need of salvation. He went to the preacher and got saved. And his life is, he started bringing his family to church, his brothers and sisters. Why is that? Because of a changed life. Amen? Now, folks, let me ask you this. Did the gospel change you?
Yes.
Did the gospel change you? If it didn't, what gospel did you get? Amen? The gospel changed me. Amen. Did the gospel change the way you look at the Bible in church?
Hallelujah.
Or have we gotten over our salvation? I think in some cases, preacher, our salvation gets old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that, preacher. I know all that. I've done all that. Why don't you walk up to your... sometimes you introduce your wife, and someone says, "Who's this?" "Oh, she's my wife." I wouldn't want to be 100 feet of you, amen. I've done all that. I got married a long time ago. I told her I loved her, and if anything changes, I'll let her know. That's how we treat Jesus Christ. That's how we treat our salvation. We're not excited about it anymore. I know, preacher, good night. Don't get excited about it. Well, excuse me, but if you looked the way I lived before Calvary, I'd get excited too. Perhaps we need to fall back in love with Jesus Christ. And his gospel. It's not our gospel, it's his. I know that he's still in love with us. The poet wrote the words, "You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds you do, by the words you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you?" We're the only gospel some people will ever read, folks. The importance of the gospel is important enough to give to someone here in Haslett, Texas, and important enough to send around the world.
Amen.
We're over in Madagascar preaching the gospel as you're here in Haslett preaching the gospel. Let's do what we can. Pick up our pick up our Bibles, pick up our swords, and preach the gospel that others may be saved and know our Lord as well. Pastor.
The gospel's important.
Amen.
So important it's worth learning a language to tell others who don't speak English the gospel. It's important enough to make sure you're in church, have your kids in church. It's important enough to invest our finances and our time and our energy into spreading it. Anytime you do that, the devil's going to hinder it. Anytime you do that, other men are going to hinder it. Other people are going to hinder it. I mean, that, you know, when you shine light into a dark room, you know, the cockroaches, you know, they spread out. They go for cover. And I'm telling you, when you shed the light, when you share the light, it's going to impact people positively and some negatively. They don't want to hear it. But it's the gospel that changes lives. I love that last point. It is the gospel that changes life. And I guess my emphasis this morning is, yes, I'm so glad when I got saved that I shunned hell and heaven's my home. I'm looking forward someday, the blessed hope, looking for the blessed hope of his return. But he changes lives here and now. And he will change your life. He'll change you. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How has the gospel impacted your life now? How has it impacted your life now? Is it still impacting your life? I got saved at the age of 6 years old. You know, I'm 43 now. Has it still impacted my life? The answer is yes. It's so important. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Do you believe, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior this morning? Well, it's simply this. You must repent of your sins. Understand that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, that he lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. Never one time committing a sinful deed. Never one time having a sinful thought. He was perfect man. The only perfect man who's ever lived. That perfect man went to the cross and died. Not for sins he has done. Not for crimes he committed. But he died for our sins. In fact, Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in him. They could find no fault in him. He had done nothing wrong. But yet he died on that cross. The Bible says in Isaiah, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. When he was on the cross, the sins of the world were placed upon him. And there he died. He paid the penalty. He paid the price for my sins and for yours. They buried him. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And now lives at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen this morning. Do you know the Savior? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you know the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's important. Most important decision you'll ever make is to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Let's all stand. We'll turn to hymn 157. This is an invitation. It's to invite you to come to an old-fashioned altar here and to pray or to come and seek the Lord. As maybe this morning you're not saved, we'd love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved, how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe this morning you'd like to join the church. We'd love to show you how to do that. Maybe you need to come and submit to baptism. Whatever your need is, you come this morning after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message. We thank you for the sacrifice the Rackleys have made to spread the gospel, the good news there in Madagascar. We pray that you bless them for it. Lord, the message has been very clear this morning. We understand and know the gospel is important, valuable, precious. I pray this morning that we would remember that, Lord, that you would renew our love for you and our love for the gospel. Lord, if there's someone here who does not know you as Jesus, as Savior, I pray this morning they might accept you today. Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 157, Jesus Paid It All.